The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button.
AM 1260 The Rock and the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland proudly present Where We Worship. This 30-minute locally produced program highlights Northeast Ohio's Catholic parishes and institutions, their rich histories, and what they do to meet the spiritual needs of those they serve. Now here's your host, Bob Tayak.
Welcome to Where We Worship, a program highlighting parishes and Catholic institutions throughout Northeast Ohio with the intention of offering you insight and understanding on the importance of community in our Catholic faith. This program sponsored in part by the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland. Well, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops best describes the parish as the place where the church lives. Parishes are communities of faith, of action, and of hope, and they're where the gospel is proclaimed and celebrated. And parishes are the home of the Christian community. They are the heart of the church. And why are they essential to our relationship with God? One only needs to turn to Scripture. In his letter to the Hebrews, St. Paul writes, "We must consider how to rouse one another to live and do good works. We should not stay away from our assembly, as is the custom of some, but encourage one another, and this all the more, as you see the day drawing near." Well, today on Where We Worship, we move out of Northeast Ohio to feature a parish, actually became several at one time, in another hemisphere as we celebrate the 60th anniversary of the Diocese of Cleveland mission in the Central American country of El Salvador. The mission founded after Pope John XXIII's call for the church in North America to reach out to the underserved in Latin America. The Diocese of Cleveland chose the country of El Salvador because of the extreme shortage of priests serving a large Catholic population. In 1964, the diocese founded its mission in El Salvador. Well, this is your host, Bob Tayak, and joining me on Where We Worship is the director of the Diocese Mission Office and pastor at St. Mary's in Painesville, Father Steve Valenga, who served in El Salvador from 1988 through 1995. Also joining us, Father Joseph Callahan, who served in the mission in El Salvador from 1991 to 2007, now pastor at Our Lady of Lourdes Parish in Cleveland. And joining us from El Salvador is Father Paul Schindler, who's been serving the faithful in El Salvador. The Parma native began serving the Salvadoran faithful from 1972 to 1981, then returned in 2008 and has been there until this day. Father Valenga, let's begin with the Diocese of Cleveland commitment to El Salvador. When did personnel from the diocese actually begin to live and work in El Salvador?
First of all, Bob, thanks a lot for giving us this opportunity to share something about our mission, especially in the 60th anniversary of its founding. That means we go back to 1964. The Second Vatican Council was getting implemented in our diocese, and part of the implementation was there was an invitation put out to diocese to help out, to tithe in a certain sense to their southern neighbors, to southern diocese. And so at that time, we started off by sending two of our priests to El Salvador, and that was Father Tom Sebian and Father Denny St. Marie. From there, the mission grew to where we were up to 10, 15 members of our mission team, priests, religious, and laity, until we have today where we have Father Paul and Father John Ostrowski serving in two parishes in the El Salvador mission.
It's just amazing. From a historical perspective as well, Father, the Salvadoran mission has gone through various stages. Of course, it drew worldwide attention in the early 1980s when our missionaries were martyred during the Civil War. Father Callahan, I know you came in at a time when there was a lot of well, we're talking 1991. A little perspective from you on what you encountered, Father, when you, from a historical standpoint, entered El Salvador.
Yes, I want to thank you also for the invitation to share our experiences and our love for the mission and the country of El Salvador. I went to the country just as the peace accords were being signed and the ceasefire was taking place. It was kind of an exciting time to see how things would unravel. The UN sent peace observers from other countries that weren't involved in the conflict. We worked with them in our little town, It didn't happen overnight that things really, really settled down, but it was an exciting historical time for sure.
I bet. And Father Schindler, if you could join us from El Salvador, I think you were very much involved, well, way back in the day, even at the time that Sister Dorothy Kazel and Jean Donovan were murdered, our lay missionary Jean and Sister Dorothy. A little perspective on that time for us from your standpoint.
Well, at that time, we were working here in La Libertad, and Dorothy and Jean and myself were serving the people of the parish. And when you talk about a parish, you're talking about not like a parish in Cleveland. You talk about an area that, according to the mayor of our town, the La Libertad has 74,000 people in it. And we were the pastoral team. And the work that we did was to empower the people, because when you got that many people, you know that you cannot do it yourself. But if you get the people prepared, trained, and understanding their part of the parish, then, of course, things go on. And so that was the reality. And, of course, one of the other ministries that we had was Sempre Hospitality. Whenever American missionaries would go out of the country, or they would always stop at La Libertad, leave their car here, we would take them to the airport, and they would be able to come back to the airport, and we'd pick them up and so on. So we did hospitality also. So not only taking the people, forming the people, empowering the people, and of course the parish itself has a clinic, started when Carol Savage was here. Then the parish itself has a school with 844 students in it. We have a parish school. We have a retreat house where we do almost every month we have one of our communities, whether it's the base community or, you know, are being formed. Because we are forming people, we became a threat to the government, who did not want the people organized. And so that was part of the situation that the sisters were involved in. Sure. They were arrested at the airport.
Father Valenga, well, from your perspective, I want to touch base on women religious. I think there's many in the Diocese of Cleveland that don't know what a great role they played. And we had the missionaries that came down and have assisted over the years.
Correct? Really, from the beginning, the religious congregations of sisters were involved in the missions in El Salvador. The Aqua Dominicans, the Ursulines, of course. The Humility of Mary have been there. Same. Sisters of St. Joseph as
right.
well. You
right.
know, and actually, in number-wise, there were just as many diocesan priests that went as we had religious women. And then there's a number of lay people that worked part of the team as well.
I want to touch on Father Schindler's remark. You know, there was a whole aspect to really hospitality that they brought, and the introduction to the people to welcome them into the faith.
You know, when it came to the work of the mission, obviously we were working in parishes, but the role of religious women had a different spin than perhaps the Salvadoran culture was expected to. You know, they really did a lot of the groundwork when it came to inviting people to participate in their parishes, when it came to being part of the leadership that Paul was talking about. The priests had their assigned roles. We were saying masses, we were doing the sacraments. The sisters were going door to door. They were meeting face to face with people. And frequently, that would probably be one of the first, if only, times they would have had a religious come to their house.
Sure.
I used to tell the nuns that they did all the work and we got all the credit. The priests got the credit. They were doing the groundwork all the time.
They surely were. Well, when we return, the diocese mission in El Salvador and the role of the missionary on Where We Worship on AM 1260 The Rock. You're listening to Where We Worship on AM 1260 The Rock. With special thanks to the Diocese of Cleveland for support of this program. This is your host, Bob Tayak, with a message to our listeners. Are you a digital subscriber to the weekly email newsletter provided by the Diocese of Cleveland? Right before the weekend begins, the Diocese delivers a series of updates and stories from ministries throughout Northeast Ohio, as well as Bishop Edward Mielecek's Gospel Reflection for that Sunday. Be sure to visit dioceseofcleveland.org and click on the subscriber box that pops onto your screen. And now as our interview continues with Father Steve Valenga, director of the Diocesan Mission Office, Father Joseph Callahan, who served as a missionary in El Salvador for 16 years, and Father Paul Schindler, who joins us from El Salvador, where he's served the Diocesan Mission since 2008. And Father Callahan, you were in El Salvador from 1991 to 2007. Tell us about your experience there.
You know, I'd say two things that that come to mind. When I first got there, we were having a workshop. The team was, there were about 12 members, and Sister Sheila Tobey said something that has stuck with me to this day. She said that when we come from the United States to a country like this, we come from a culture of abundance, and we enter into a culture of survival. And that dynamic really permeates so much of what I observed and experienced there and observe and experience here in the inner city with the people that in the neighborhood I live and with the immigrant population of Hispanics that we attend to at Lourdes. So the culture of abundance, culture of survival.
I wanted to ask you, Father, too, and you had mentioned it already, when you were there, peace accords were just getting directed and so forth. But from the perspective of all the missionaries, the men and the women, was there danger? Was there really a threat, did you ever feel, whether it was from gangs or criminals or even the government at that point?
I personally didn't, but there was some random violence starting when I was there that might have been related to gangs. The people were pretty much aware of where it was taking place, and they would say, you know, don't go to this area, or just kind of like be aware, as I am living in the inner city now.
How about the special traditions you observed of the Salvadoran people as it related to the faith, and lessons, traditions that you may have brought now over to Our Lady of Lourdes? And we should point out that you have a Hispanic population there at Our Lady of Lourdes in Slavic Village that you serve. But tell us about those that you may incorporate from what you had learned there.
We've tried to, with our people here in the parish here in Cleveland, you know, we try to highlight their patronal feast, whatever country they're from, at least a simple procession or a song at that time, on the Sunday around that feast day. There are people do a lot of visiting in the home for the rosaries, for the when someone dies, either here or there in their country. So a lot of it still is in the hands of the folks, even here, even with their routine of working and going to school and so on. Yeah.
Father Steve, your thoughts in that regard as far as what you may have brought back, because you have a largely Hispanic or at least a good population at St. Mary's in Painesville, too.
Yes, we're probably close to 60% Hispanic in the parish right at this point. And they're the young people. And that brings with them a lot of their traditions that they grew up with and they're sharing with their kids. That's a great desire they have with the people because they're raising their children here in the United States, and the traditions that they have and they lived with when they were working and living in their country. My people are mostly from Mexico. Mm. And so they would want to share those with their kids to be able to get them to understand and learn and to appreciate them as well. What Father Joe is saying is so true. Everything that's seriously important and religious has a procession with it. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we come to appreciate is whenever we invite people, we're going to have a procession, everybody just gets up and they're part of the procession and they walk around as if it's just part of their nature. And some of our traditions, as Joe was saying, all of Latin America, there's so many different nationalities, and each has its own culture, and it brings its own sense of their own devotion to Mary, and sure. And so all of those things are carried in, and each one has an important part to play in their life here in mm-hmm. the United States. You had a great sense of that tradition. I remember so often in El Salvador, especially Holy Week, they had a procession that started on Holy Thursday. After the Mass on Holy Thursday, they had a procession from Good Friday that was huge, the Holy Internment of Jesus, where after you'd have a service that we have usually at the celebration of the Lord's death that takes place, the Passion of the Lord. And then what happens is they literally have a crucifix where the Jesus is taken off the cross, his arms collapse down, and he's placed in a casket that is carried through the streets, and sometimes to all hours of the night.
Really?
And
my goodness.
It's the probably more popular than sometimes the church services, mm-hmm. but it's where the people are so involved, and it's part of their religious life that they live. So
I want to jump back real quickly for a second, because we touched on it in the first segment, but from a perspective of a person living here in Cleveland, the travel demands and the distances that were involved, particularly Father Joe, as you came on board, Father Steve, you were there early on. What was it like in El Salvador? I mean, you were covering basically the entire country?
Well, we started out in the far eastern end of the country in the city of La Union, with a parish where we began the ministry. It still exists, the parish. It's a huge church right in the middle of the town. And there's rooms that where the missionaries used to live that were attached to the church. It's really dramatic. We used to take priests down for retreats
From Cleveland,
and we would make a pilgrimage out there just to see this church where everything started.
What kind of travel dimensions are we talking about here as far as distances? And Father Joe, I think you said early on in a conversation, the roads themselves, it truly was an effort just to serve the people in all over that country.
Yeah, we visit the small communities in the hills and in the valleys, and sometimes the roads are pretty poor, very poor. During the rainy season, it's very muddy. The dry season is very dusty. But we have the advantage because of the generosity of people here that we have trucks and jeeps and my preferred way of doing it, motorcycles.
Oh, very good. Very good. Yeah. Well, coming up, the Diocesan Mission in El Salvador today. We'll hear firsthand from Father Paul Schindler, who continues to serve there on AM 1260, The Rock. You're listening to Where We Worship, featuring the Diocesan Mission in the Central American country of El Salvador on AM 1260 The Rock. My guest, Father Steve Valenga, director of the Diocesan Mission Office, who served in El Salvador from 1988 to 95, along with Father Joseph Callahan, serving El Salvador from 1991 to 2007, and on the line from the mission in El Salvador, Father Paul Schindler, who's been serving the people of El Salvador with the Diocesan Mission first from 72 to 81, and then returning to the mission in 2008, where he continues his service today. And Father Schindler, my question for you, where'd a kid from Parma, Ohio, how were you able to define that your vocation and willingness to serve in this ostensibly third world country?
When I was a young boy, my family used to get Maryknoll magazine. And every month we'd get a copy of Maryknoll magazine. I would read it from beginning to end, always thinking about the missions. My first assignment was in Wadsworth, Ohio for 5 years. And when I was coming to my end of my year, I got a letter from Gil Sheldon, who was the mission director at that time. And it said, we're developing the mission in El Salvador. We need priests. Are you interested? And God couldn't be any more clear to me that that's where I was supposed to go, because I've always had an interest in the mission. So,
well, very good. Tell us now the various ministries, your activities in this day and age, Father. First of all, you're located where? In La Libertad, El Salvador?
I'm in the port of La Libertad, which is about, according to the statistics of the government here, something like 74,000 people in the port of La Libertad. And we have basically in the port of La Libertad 28 churches. We have a grade school with 844 kids in it. We have a clinic. We have a retirement home. So, again, these are some of the ministries. And, of course, our job is to empower the people to do it. We can't do it. You know, individually, it's impossible for us to cover all these people. But if you empower the people, and that's what we learned right from the very beginning, to help the people help themselves, then we were basically being effective. You know, that's what we continue to do. We could not run the parish just by ourselves. They're good servants. They're very good.
Father, it sounds like, you know, much of this that you just described really came post-Diocese of Cleveland establishment there, as far as you ran down several major ministries. Would that be correct, as far as those
yes.
things all being established over those years?
Well, our Cleveland team began in La Union, which was a port town. And when it came time for the team to expand, they chose La Libertad because of the fact that it was also a poor time in their town, and there are various ministries that, you know, we have the people in the as a tourist section of the Port of La Libertad. We have the fishermen in the Port of La Libertad. We have the small based communities. We have the school. All these things, we've helped develop the leaders in them. That's what they continue to do.
Like so many parishes today, I always ask this question, Father, in this program. Struggling to reach younger people when the culture tends to dismiss religion, how do you address the issue in El Salvador?
Well, again, we have the Family of God program. We have the young people that are very much involved with their families. Every week they have an assembly. Again, every community has a youth leader. Their job is to try to tie the young people from their communities into the main community of La Libertad. So we have a lot of activities where our young people, in it, especially through the schools, we have the grade school. There's also a high school. And then I have a scholarship program for kids in college. So if they continue their studies, we have about 40-some kids under studying at the various colleges in San Salvador, all supported through the generosity of the Cleveland Diocese.
What are the greatest needs of the mission and its people today, Father?
Again, there are so many needs. I think, the support of the people, to encourage them to continue to do the work. That's the most important thing, that you cannot abandon them to themselves. You have to be being present with the people as they do their celebrations. Not do it yourself, but allow them to do it, and then to support them in doing it in the best we can.
Well, that's very good. And I was going to turn to Father Valenga as the mission director. Father, a message, if you would, to the people of the Diocese of Cleveland.
Well, continuing on what Father Schindler was talking about, you know, one of the great things that we've had in this diocese for the past 60 years is El Salvador, the mission in El Salvador. And this is a wonderful opportunity to remember the gift of the El Salvador mission to the Diocese of Cleveland. Whenever I have gone back to visit, and I get to go almost every year, it's one of the messages that people say to me is, thank you for remembering us. And I think that's what this is all about. We're a church in relation to El Salvador. We have people who've given their lives there. And as time goes on, we want to make sure we don't lose that, to be aware and to remember and to for programs like this, to keep sharing the message, the gift, and the presence that we have in El Salvador.
In fact, in that regard, is Bishop Mlesic, if I'm not mistaken, going to help celebrate the 60th anniversary?
Yes, absolutely. This will be his second visit to El Salvador.
Oh, it's his second.
Yeah, and so we scheduled, as he got back, this visit for the 60th anniversary. And we're actually going in September, September 11th to the 16th. And we will be celebrating each of the parishes a special mass with the bishop. And we're also taking priests and deacons along. It's going to be a form of a retreat. We've done that in the past, and the guys come back and they're very, very impressed. And it's a great experience of what our diocese has that's unique.
Father, how can a member of the Diocese of Cleveland, just a congregant, learn more about the mission in El Salvador?
Well, we have on our website, if you go to the Diocese of Cleveland, look through the office section, and they have the mission office is there. And on that mission office is the video that you mentioned early on, Bob, as you were part of making back for the 50th anniversary. And that's a wonderful opportunity. Also, we have a collection that's taken place in January every year. It's called the Latin American Collection, but it's unique here in the Diocese of Cleveland because it's shared with El Salvador in a special way. And once again, the ability that we have to travel now. We have probably another dozen parishes that have had mission experiences in El Salvador. They have great experiences and great message to share with their people as well.
Well, you've been listening to Where We Worship. This is your host, Bob Tayac. This presentation featuring the diocese mission in El Salvador. Where We Worship, a production of AM 1260, St. Peter the Rock Media, focusing on the essential aspects of community worship and participation in our Catholic life. As written in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 2, prayer as a community is essential for our spiritual growth and personal well-being. God does not intend for us to bear our crosses alone.
Thank you for listening to Where We Worship with host Bob Tayac, presented by AM 1260 The Rock and the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland. If you missed any part of today's show, you can listen to the program in its entirety by going to our website, am1260therock.com, and clicking the On Demand tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at am1260therock.com.